Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Obituaries. Marie Elizabeth Atkinson. Marie Elizabeth Atkinson, 71, of Odessa, passed away Saturday, August 6, 2022, in Odessa. Visitation is scheduled 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Wednesday, August 10, 2022, at Sunset Memorial with Jimmy Braswell officiating. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Elizabeth, often called Nan by her loved ones and friends, was born in Cushing, Oklahoma, on March 18, 1951. She married Alan Atkinson in Odessa, Texas, in 1973. He preceded her in death in 1988. Nan owned and operated Chubby's Party Emporium for 45 years in Odessa. Her business was special not just to the children who sought her opinion on what they should be for Halloween, but also to the many adults she guided through her store to find that perfect outfit. She made many of the costumes that filled the shop, and her grandchildren were always the best dressed at any costume event. She had a fun spirit and could decorate any event and make it shine like a diamond. She only closed the doors of the business when her battle with cancer became too much. She is survived by daughter Tracy Robinson and her husband, Brad Robinson, and her son, Brad Dunham, and his wife, Tiffany Dunham. She is also survived by grandchildren Chelsea and her husband, Dylan Porter, and their daughter Nan's great-granddaughter, Lainey Elizabeth Porter. She is also survived by grandson Zachary Robinson and granddaughter Taylor Jones. Zora William Cook, Odessa, Texas. Zora William Cook, 56, of Odessa, Texas, passed away Sunday, July 31, 2022, at Medical Center Hospital of Natural Causes. He was surrounded by family. Mr. Cook was born November 28, 1965, in Carlsbad, New Mexico, to Zora and Joan Cook. He enjoyed helping others, hunting, playing cards, dominoes, and could fix anything. He is preceded in death by his parents, Zora and Joan Cook, and his brother, Thomas Cook. He is survived by his sister, Sharon Skinner, and her husband, John, of Carlsbad, New Mexico, sister Leanne Cook of San Angelo, Texas, sons Anthony and Christopher Cook, and many nieces and nephews. Cremation took place at Yellow Rose in Midland, Texas, private memorial to be held at family home. Terry Lynn Simpkins Whitaker, 65, of Odessa, Texas, passed away on Thursday, August 4, 2022, in Odessa, Texas, with her loving husband by her side. Viewing will be held Monday, August 8, 2022, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. A graveside service will be held at 10 a.m. Tuesday, August 9, 2022, at Sunset Memorial Gardens with Shane Branicky of Community Bible Church officiating. All family and friends are welcome to attend. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. Terry was born in Odessa, Texas, to Martha and Roy Simpkins on July 22, 1957. She went to Odessa High School. She married Ricky Whitaker on April 1, 1978. One of Terry's favorite hobbies was shopping estate sales and garage sales. She had the ability to find the best bargains. When she wasn't bargain hunting, she was on the golf course, traveling, or spending time with family. Terry was the backbone of the family and always taking care of everyone else. She was the very best grandma to her four grandkids. She absolutely loved being grandma. Terry is preceded in death by Roy Simpkins and Randy Simpkins. Terry is survived by her spouse, Ricky Whitaker, sons Jeremy Whitaker and Sherry, Justin Whitaker and Meredith, mother Martha Simpkins, brother Kevin Simpkins and Teresa, nieces Haley and Austin Reynolds and Lindsay, and four grandchildren, Taylan, Kyler, Camden, and Logan. The family of Terry Whitaker wishes to extend our sincere thanks to Brianna, Lene, and Michaela of Angels Care Hospice and Texas Oncology. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send condolences to the family, please sign her guestbook at www.sunsetodessa.com. Death Notices. Isidra Mendoza Benavides. Isidra Mendoza Benavides, 89, of Odessa, Texas, died Friday, August 5th, 2022, in Odessa, Texas. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. Thursday, August 11th, 2022, at St. Joseph's Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Friar Carlos Rodriguez is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa, Texas. Barbara Lynn Barbie Hutchinson. Barbara Lynn Barbie Hutchinson, 39, of Odessa, Texas, died Wednesday, August 3, 2022, in Odessa, Texas. Funeral service is scheduled for 2 p.m., August 11, 2022, at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Larry Hood is officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa, Texas. William B. Plunkett, Cedar Park. William B. Plunkett, 78, of Odessa formerly, died Thursday, August 4, 2022, in Cedar Park. Graveside service is scheduled for 10 a.m., August 10, 2022, at Mason Cemetery in Arp Park. Mark Fulks is officiating. Arrangements are by Stewart Family Funeral Home of Tyler. Humberto Chumbi Salazar. Humberto Chumbi Salazar, 65, of Odessa, died Thursday, August 4, 2022, in Odessa. Memorial service is scheduled for 2 p.m., August 12, 2022, at St. John's Evangelistic Catholic Church. Father Joe is officiating. Arrangements are by Harkey Funeral Home of Monahans. Obituary. Lynette Aline Powers Counts, Kermit. Lynette Aline Counts, age 94, passed away on Friday, August 5, 2022, in Odessa, Texas. She was born on November 15, 1927, in Albany, Texas, to William Riley and Alice Gertrude Smith Powers. Lynette married Charles Richard Counts on September 1, 1951, in St. Louis County, and they shared 47 wonderful years together until his passing in 1998. Lynette was a member of the Pink Ladies since 1985. She also volunteered at Greater Works. She enjoyed going to Hobbs, to the casinos, and spending time with her friends at the Senior Center. Always on the go, she never wanted to miss out on anything. Her son Roy was the apple of her eye. Lynette is survived by her son Roy Wayne Counts and wife Jill of Midland, Texas. She was preceded in death by her husband Charles Counts, parents William and Alice Powers, brothers Paul Powers and Ray Powers, and sisters Blanche Rayburn, Mae Mitchell, and Inez Sale. Visitation will be at First Baptist Church in Kermit starting at 10 a.m. on Friday, August 12th. A funeral service will follow on Friday, August 12th, 2022 at 12 noon at First Baptist Church in Kermit. Burial will follow at Kermit Cemetery. Arrangements are entrusted to Family Services Funeral Parlor, and condolences may be sent to the family online at www.fsfp.com. Judy Benton, Dallas. Judy Benton was born on December 3, 1940, in Hot Springs, Arkansas, to Bill and Mona Hutchison. She passed away on Saturday, August 6, in Dallas, Texas. Judy was born and raised in Monahans, Texas, where her childhood was spent running free outside of her mother's restaurant, Hutch's Cafe, with her sister and dog. She idolized her brother Jack, who taught her about life and how to shoot a gun. On March 9, 1967, Judy married Boyd Benton and was happily married for 49 years. Judy had many talents, although she insisted that she had none. She sewed Halloween costumes for grandkids, did needlepoint and ceramics. She loved movies and was an avid reader, traveled extensively on inaugural cruises, bus trips, and road trips to 49 states and abroad. More recently, Judy also enjoyed attending rock concerts with her sons. Judy is survived by her children, Roy Scott, Ricky Scott, Kristen Scott, and Mark Martinez. Her daughter-in-law, Diana Scott, her son-in-law, George Munstead, her grandchildren, Shay Harmon and her husband, Brad, Ashton Smith and her husband, Jay, Sean, Scott, Jesse Munstead, Danielle Munstead, and Reagan Munstead. Her great-grandchildren, Jonah, Braxton, Kinsey, Boston, Wyla, Millie, and Harper. The service for Judy is Monday, August 15th at 1 p.m. with a viewing at 12 noon at Harkey's Funeral Home in Monahans. all are welcome to join us afterwards at the Hawthorne Suites on Stockton Highway.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram Health and Wellness for Wednesday, August 10th, 2022. Focus is on Behavioral Health Center. How is the Regional Behavioral Health Center coming along? Slower than Midland Health CEO Russell Myers would like. Myers told the Reporter Telegram that there could be important steps taken this fall, including the architecture contract. He also said that officials are hoping to secure the land for the site. What he isn't as worried about is the cost of building a center that will be a comprehensive behavioral health care center for the Permian Basin. Upon completion of the construction of the campus, the facility will be operated by a partnership between the Midland County Hospital District and Ector County Hospital District, the Reporter Telegram previously reported. During the 2021 legislative session, Texas lawmakers passed Senate Bill 8, which included $40 million to expand access to mental health services in West Texas by funding construction of a new mental health-focused hospital campus. One officials are calling the Permian Basin Behavioral Health Center. Meyer said he expects the entire project to cost $90 million and that while he is at, quote, varying stages, end quote, with potential funders, he, quote, feels good with where fundraising stands, end quote, and, quote, getting the project fully funded, end quote. Tracy Bentley, executive director of the coalition of 17 energy companies called the Permian Strategic Partnership, reaffirmed their support for the Permian Basin Behavioral Health Center during an interview with the Reporter Telegram last week. When talking about potential health facilities in Midland, Odessa, Bentley said, quote, our first priority is, without a doubt, to get the Behavioral Health Center across the finish line. And that's really, we are laser focused on that. End quote. The PSP has invested more than $40 million in healthcare spending across the Permian Basin. And last week, the PSP provided some detail about a planned medical community they are looking into with the Scarborough Foundation, the University of Texas System, and the Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center. She said that the Behavioral Health Center would be a cornerstone for a future combination of resources between hospital districts in Midland and Odessa. Quote, the Behavioral Health Center is the first piece to this, to a potential healthcare hub, end quote, Bentley said. Quote, and we think it makes good sense that wherever the Behavioral Health Center lands is a good place to potentially put more things like a pediatric center, like a cancer center, or a new nursing lab. You get my drift, end quote. Bentley then reiterated that other ideas come second to, quote, getting that Behavioral Health Center across the line. And hopefully in the next 6 months, we'll start to see the gap close with getting that done. End quote. Can massage relieve symptoms of anxiety, depression, stress? Stress is an inevitable part of life. It is nearly impossible to remove all stress from day-to-day life. Stress is physiological and psychological responses to situations the body and mind find to be overwhelming. Even situations perceived as good, like getting married, starting a new job, or becoming a parent, can produce significant stress. When people struggle to cope with stressful situations, depression and anxiety symptoms can become more noticeable. Massage therapy is one of many ways to cope with stress and treat anxiety and depression. Some people mistakenly believe that massage therapy is only for pampering yourself. While this is true for some people, it also helps manage anxiety, depression, and insomnia. Physical benefits of massage. A massage does more than just feel good. It can lower the amount of cortisol in your body. This hormone is produced when your body is stressed. It increases glucose in your bloodstream, enhances your brain's use of glucose, and curbs functions that are non-essential in a fight-or-flight situation. A one-hour massage lowers cortisol in your body while also releasing serotonin. This hormone neurotransmitter is sometimes called the, quote, happy chemical, end quote, because it reduces feelings of depression and carries signals between nerves and your body. By lowering cortisol and increasing serotonin, you're boosting your body's ability to fight off pain, anxiety, and feelings of sadness. Also, massage could be considered an hour-long hug, as it can fulfill the need for human contact and comforting touch. A session provides you with a nurturing, safe place to physically rest. Emotional benefits of massage. Massage provides many emotional benefits, which can be just as important as the physical benefits. Many people say that after a massage, they feel more relaxed and calmer. It is a safe and nurturing place for people to refocus and find clarity. Massage can lower stress levels and feelings of anxiety. It can improve mood and relaxation while increasing confidence and self-image. If you experience depression or anxiety, or just overloaded with extra stress, massage can be an effective part of treatment. It can create a sense of relief and empowerment and allow you to focus on your mind-body connection. Massage therapists listen to your needs and concerns. They can develop a treatment plan to decrease stress and symptoms of anxiety and depression. Sessions range from 15 to 90 minutes in length. Therapeutic massage may help support you on your mental health journey. Fugit latest DAISY Award winner. Labor delivery nurse provides patients with attentiveness, passion. Midland Health announced this week that its latest DAISY Award winner, Erica Fugit, who works in the labor and delivery unit. Fugit was nominated for the DAISY Award by a patient who was powerfully impacted by the care received. The family wrote the following. Quote, my fiance and I were admitted for the birth of our son. Erica was there to greet us and get us checked in before she left for the night. My fiancé was in labor for over 24 hours, so we got to have her in our room the next day. On top of having chaos happening around us, with four other births happening and Erica doing what she could to help set up the rooms and help the other nurses, she never skipped a beat with my family. Quote, we were scared or nervous, or a little of all things at once. Erica calmed us with her humor and also the love for what she does. She guided us during labor even when my fiancé was done and begged for an alternative. Even then, Erica consulted with the doctor because that's what the soon-to-be new mom wanted. I'm sure because of her listening to us and because of her observations, she filled Dr. Doak in on the situation and allowed him to make an educated recommendation, a recommendation that worked beautifully. There were hurdles that had to be overcome and little victories we all shared. All of them we owe to Erica's attentiveness and passion for what she does. Thank you, Erica. End quote. It is because of Erica's compassionate and caring efforts that her patient experienced a level of care that exemplifies the impact nurses have in creating an environment where patients and families feel at home. Congratulations, Erica Fugit. The DAISY Award is an international nursing recognition program created to honor nurses who provide extraordinary compassionate care. Midland Memorial Hospital is one of more than 4,900 healthcare facilities and schools of nursing worldwide that recognizes their nurses with this prestigious award. Anyone in the facility can nominate a nurse, be it a patient or visitor, another nurse, physician, or any other staff member. Anyone who experienced or observes extraordinary compassionate care being provided by a nurse. Study. Too little sleep may jeopardize development of young children. For children in elementary school, regularly getting less than 9 hours of sleep per night may hinder their neurocognitive development. According to a study led by University of Maryland School of Medicine researchers and published in the journal Lancet Child and Adolescent Health. The study involved 8,323 children, ages 9 and 10, who were enrolled in a large long-term study of brain development and children's health. Comparing children who got the recommended amount of sleep for their age, 9 to 12 hours a night, with those who slept less, the new research found differences in brain regions responsible for memory, intelligence, and well-being. Greater mental health problems, such as depression, anxiety, and impulsive behavior, were linked to insufficient sleep, as were difficulties with memory, problem-solving, and decision-making. The effects on the children's academic and social lives lasted for at least 2 years, quote, suggesting long-lasting consequences of insufficient sleep, end quote, the researchers wrote. Not getting enough sleep has been shown to be fairly common among children and teens. For instance, a recently published study from the National Institutes of Health found that 9 to 13-year-olds average just 7 hours and 45 minutes of sleep a night, considerably less than recommended. To help increase children's sleep time, pediatricians urge parents to make sufficient sleep a family priority and to encourage such things as daytime physical activity, a regular nighttime routine, and no screen time for an hour before bedtime. What is the best way to stay hydrated while exercising? Dear Mayo Clinic, I am prone to kidney stones, so I know it's important for me to stay hydrated while I exercise. But do I need to change what I drink in the summer? A friend mentioned that I might be better with a sports drink versus water. I'm also wondering how much I should drink. Can you provide any advice? Answer. Staying hydrated during exercise is important. You can become dehydrated if you take in too little fluid, especially during the hot summer months. Conversely, consuming too much fluid can be problematic. Some people are known to experience what is known as exercise-induced low sodium or hyponatremia. Finding a balance is important. The purpose of drinking fluid, whether water or electrolyte-containing beverages, is to rehydrate the body and put fluid back into your system so your organs can function properly. How much to drink and when depends on your situation. Generally, it's recommended that you should consume at least 2 liters of water or other beverages per day. The general rule of thumb among healthcare professionals is to drink to thirst. Although guidelines speak to hydration before, during, and after exercise, I always tell people to look and listen to your body as the best indicator when you need hydration. That said, thirst isn't always a helpful indicator of hydration status, particularly when exercising. If you're exercising and thirsty, you are already well on your way to becoming dehydrated, compared to if you were resting and thirsty. You will need to take in more fluid than usual at times. During the summer months, for instance, when weather is hotter and more humid, it is important to drink more fluid, especially if you are exercising outdoors. As far as what to drink, for most people, water is the best place to start. Depending on how extensively you exercise, having a beverage that includes electrolytes also is important to replace nutrients and electrolytes lost during sweating, such as sodium and chloride. Sodium is important because it helps you absorb glucose and water. Aim for about 450 milligrams of sodium per 24 ounces of sports drink. Avoid salt tablets as they do not include all the electrolytes you need, and you can easily use too much. You also can look for a drink with some carbohydrates, since they provide fuel for your working muscles. It is best to consume about half your fluid intake in water and half in a beverage that contains electrolytes. As you spend time outdoors, be aware of symptoms of dehydration, which can include extreme thirst, less frequent urination, dark-colored urine, fatigue, dizziness, and confusion. Also, if you experience cramps or headache while exercising, it is best to stop, hydrate, and potentially seek medical attention.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Dental hygiene beyond 70s. Dear Dr. Roach, providing that a person has good dental hygiene, what changes should a person expect to their mouths in their 70s, 80s, and beyond? Answer. Unfortunately, many seniors lose their teeth as they get older. Over a quarter of people over the age of 65 have no remaining teeth. It is clear that regular dental visits along with brushing and flossing help preserve your teeth. Smoking is a severe risk to your teeth, and so is chewing tobacco. Oral nicotine and vaping are risky, but not quite as bad. Some medical conditions and medications can cause dry mouth, which is a severe risk to dental health. 40% of people over 80 have dry mouth symptoms. Combined treatment from a person's doctor and dentist can help prevent tooth decay and loss. Many older adults do not get routine dental care, but dental care has benefits for the teeth that extend to the rest of the body, since dental health affects overall physical health in multiple ways.
This is the Dear Abby column. Drunk Uncle Crosses the Line with Kiss. Dear Abby, I come from a large, close family. The majority of them live in another state. A couple of family members live in the same state I reside in. One night, my uncle came over and we were hanging out having drinks. We both drank too much, and at some point he started to kiss my neck. I told him to stop because he is family, and he did. Luckily, nothing more happened. The next day he texted and called, profusely apologizing. I have been hurt, sad, and angry ever since. He wanted to talk about it, but I didn't. We still see each other at family get-togethers, since there are only a few of us out here. I haven't told anyone, and it's hard to keep this to myself, but I'm afraid that if I say something, it could cause a rift in my family. How do I get through this without hurting them? Should I confront him and tell him how this made me feel? Should I confide in a family member? Or must I just pretend it didn't happen? Signed, Emotional in Arizona. Dear Emotional, do not pretend it didn't happen. Because you feel the need to get this off your chest, tell your amorous uncle how hurt, angry, and violated you felt by what he did. I see no reason why you should announce this to the family for the reason you mentioned. However, do not see him alone or drink with him again. Dear Abby, I have been babysitting my grandson, alternating with the other grandmother for 2 years. She and I rarely see each other, but invariably, when we do, something I say gets repeated to the mother in a changed form. It causes my daughter-in-law to go ballistic on my son, never directly to me. Both of them have professional jobs and are in their 30s. I have never felt valued or needed for myself or the service I provide for her, although my son frequently expresses appreciation privately to me. They hope to have their child enrolled in preschool in 8 months, but I very much want to quit because yet another miscommunication occurred this week. My son makes excuses for his wife, but I think she should talk to me directly so I can refute what her mother says. I'm told her mother has a, quote, listening issue, unquote, that my daughter-in-law is aware of, but apparently that doesn't matter when it comes to me. I'm pretty sure that whether I continue or leave now, I will rarely see them or the baby once he starts preschool, although we live only 20 minutes away. What should I do? Signed, Grandma's Mess in New Jersey. Dear Mess, my advice is to smile and continue babysitting your grandchild until preschool starts. If you quit now, it will only give your daughter-in-law another excuse to blame you and curtail interactions with you in the future. If you choose to keep doing it, you will have an 8-month window for your grandchild to bond with you, which bodes well for the future. You could write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.